message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you because in you we are satisfied. Thank you, Lord, because we need to search for no other place than in you. In you we live, we move, we have a being. Now today again, we have gathered around your word to be taught, to be educated, and to be instructed in righteousness. We receive this word with meekness of heart. We mix it with faith in our heart. And we act promptly so we can yield forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Tell the church we shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
Lamentations 3 in verse 27. I want us all to read together in unison as a church. Lamentations 3 in verse 27. I think it's displayed on all the screens. We can all read together in unison. 3, 2, go. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. Can we read one more time? Lord, we honor your word and we receive insight today. Give it to me, 2 Timothy 3:16, a good place to start. Now, he says it is good for a man that he bear his yoke while he is young. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So I've said this 101 times in this church, that the word instruction there is from the Greek word paideia. That's P-A-I-D-E-I-A. That's the Greek word. And it means tutorage or tutelage or education. That means you cannot approach the word of God and not be instructed. You can never approach the word of God and be left indifferent. The word of God is going to give you modus operandi. It's going to give you model to conform into. The word of God is going to be a part. There will be a pattern to imitate. God's word never leaves you without any instruction to follow by. In other words, you cannot have your own opinion. When you got born again, the word of God gives you an opinion. And God's word never leaves you in the dark about this life that we live. Listen, we have done series of teachings, and the Lord has put this particular teaching in my heart to train you. Because guess what? Let me tell you, everyone in this church is going to be a great man and woman.
Amen.
So there's a training going on. There's a training going on for the palace. There's a training going on for the palace. Because guess what? I know in this church, we're going to have people in every arm, in every sphere of human endeavor doing greatly. I'm telling you, I know it like I know my name. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't even know where you're going to be, but I know by the Spirit that amongst you here are senators.
Amen.
Amongst you here are owners of industries.
Amen.
Amongst you, yes, you are going to control the education system.
Amen.
See, listen, in Kyiv, Ukraine, is a certain pastor that the major guys in the House of Assembly are his church members. In that kind of a country, they can't bring the terrible laws. There was once upon a time in this church, in this country, where a particular legislator was trying to push 9-year-old girl marriage. I don't know if you remember, 2-3 years ago. Listen, democracy is the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. In other words, it's a government of popular opinion. But Christianity in Nigeria, Christians in Nigeria for the past few decades, we've been trying to shy away from taking the hands of leadership in national issues, and it has cost us too much. But there's a change right now.
Amen.
I said there's a change right now.
Amen.
So I want to share with you what I began, or what I'm going to begin today, rather, titled... Those of you follow me on social media, you have an idea what I want to teach. What is the title? Say it louder.
Responsibility.
The responsibility of freedom. See, this teaching is an important message, okay? And it's designed to help you take charge and control of your life. That's why I read that scripture to you in Lamentations 3:27 that says, you know, it is good for a man to bear his yoke while he's young. Now, a lot of people actually, they mistake freedom for deliverance. Now, deliverance simply means separation from an environment of oppression. A lot of Christians are still in the realm of being delivered. Freedom is actually mental. A lot of Christians are actually delivered, but they are not free. And I'm going to touch on that. But you see, there's a concept I want you to get on freedom, which is very important. I want to read the statistics to you. You know, you have a very a pastor that reads a lot. So there's this Harvard Political Review that I just want to read to you just a few lines. Now, Harvard Political Review is just publication of there's a university called Harvard University. So they give reviews, okay, about political issue and so on and so forth. Amen. And I mean, how many of you have heard Harvard University before? Okay, they don't publish anything nonsensical without facts. They say, concerning the United States, they say, as the world leader in incarceration, the U.S. locks up more people than capital, more people per capita than any other nation. By the end of 2020, there were more than 1.8 million incarcerated Americans. Now, please forgive me, I have to use American as a prototype because Nigeria is blessed. Even the statistics of how many people we have in KFE here, we don't know. All right? How many companies are in this street? We don't know. No stat, no data. I was even trying to, because you know me, I was trying to study to get facts. I even tried to reach, someone could help me, somebody with a Bureau of Statistics. I couldn't get, I went to their website, nothing. All right? But you are changing it. Amen. I say you are changing it. Amen. Such a blessed country. All right, so please forgive me. I have to use America as a prototype. Amen. All right, so now they said each year, more than 600,000 individuals are released from the state and federal prisons. Now, listen to this. Another 9 million are released from local jails. Within 3 years of their release, 2 out of 3 former prisoners are rearrested, and more than 50% are incarcerated again. After 5 years, statistics in America shows that 77%, after 5 years, 77% of released incarcerated prisoners get rearrested again. It is called recidivism. That's what they call it. That means the tendency of prisoners that are being released to be rearrested again. And there's a psychological explanation for it. And see, I'm using this as a simple, you know, I'm trying to use natural things that you can relate to it, facts that you can relate to it, so that you can learn. So that means do you understand statistics? 2 out of 3. That means 66.7%. That means if 3 people were released in 3 years, 2 will be arrested again. In 5 years, 77%. Do you know what is 77%? That means 8, estimately, out of 10 people, after 5 years of being released from prisons, they still get back to prisons. Why? I'll tell you why. You see, the problem is this. When they were in the prison, they were taken care of. Their feeding, their welfare was taken care of. Now they are released from prison. They couldn't fend for themselves. They have not learned anything to fend for themselves. So what happened is they find themselves, you know, for some people who have been delivered from drug, I've helped a couple of people who are addicted to drug. There's something they call relapse. They find themselves getting back to their vomit. So they find themselves doing the things they used to do before that got them in jail the first time. Why? Because the things they need to do to sustain or to be better in a new world that they are right now, they don't have the real materials. And that is the price you pay for freedom. In fact, the concept of freedom is totalitarian. I can tell you for free, as a pastor for 11 years, pastoring young people, of course, 4 years in KFE, but 7 years when I was in Obafemi Law University, Ile-Ife. I can tell you for free, more than 90% of students, when they come to university in their 100th level, they lose their virginity. Ladies now, they lose their virginity to fools. Fools with chains, Walking around, walking like 50 cents. NFA, no future ambition. What's the problem there? They have not learned the responsibility of freedom when they were with their parents. Daddy's going to lock them in the house. They aren't going to go out until 6 p.m. They aren't going to learn all of... Nobody's going to... Once it's 6 p.m., their big bro is going to belt them if they try to go out. But now they got a little freedom. Guess what? They are in school now. I'll be 16 years. How could they dress like this? If you touch my thing. So now they got the freedom. They have a freedom from the, in quote and unquote, slavery of their parents, which is not really slavery in that sense. But listen, pay attention. It's the truth. A lot of people have not learned how to manage freedom. And freedom has a price to pay. It is responsibility. And that's what this teaching is designed to help you with. Look at the children of Israel. Open to Exodus 14. Because you can celebrate. The same thing applies to your salvation. A lot of people are celebrating their deliverance. But mentally, they are still in slavery. That's why the concept of freedom is totalitarian. It says deliverance simply means separation from the environment of oppression. You've been delivered from the oppression of the devil, but a lot of people are still oppressed in their minds. Their minds have not been renewed. They've not gotten freedom in the actual totalitarian sense of it. Look at Exodus 14, verse 30. The Bible says, "Thus the Lord saved Israel. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. God delivered them." Verse 31. "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Go to chapter 15 and verse 1. Chapter 15 and verse 1. "Now they got a great deliverance from their captors. They were delivered from the tyranny of Egypt." Look at it. Verse 1 says, "Then sang Moses and the children," you see, "of Israel, this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea." They were singing song of deliverance. Verse 20. Verse 20 quickly. Verse 20. Are you there? Verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out about in timbrels and with dance." They were dancing and celebrating their deliverance. Guess what? But they were celebrating deliverance. They were not free yet. They were not free because freedom, like I told you, is a totalitarian concept. So a lot of people have been, they have quote and unquote now freedom, what I would like to call deliverance. But they've not actually been free mentally. They've just been separated from the environment of oppression. Now, permit me to use that now as an analogy. Like, for example, the very example I gave of young ladies who, when they were still at home, they were sort of in kind of what I would call slavery or some kind of oppression, quote and unquote. Of course, your parents are not oppressing. I'm just giving you as a type of teaching. Do you understand? But now they are in school. They've been given freedom, but they are still not free in their head. So they don't know how to handle freedom. Freedom has its own challenges. And the price you pay for freedom is responsibility. They celebrated their deliverance, but look at Numbers 14, Numbers 11. When they got a little challenge, look at their response. The same Israelites who are celebrating how they saw their enemies was drowned in the sea. Numbers 11 and verse 4. Look at what the Bible says in verse 4. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat?" Oh, I have, next week I'll be teaching you some powerful things. Today is just a preamble to this message. "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish." Can you see the stupidity? "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely." So they are still thinking of the free food they ate in prison. So that's why the guy who has been released from prison still found himself doing the wrong things he used to do to God in the prison, and he get back to the prison. He is thinking about, well, when I'm in the prison, man, they pay my electricity bill, boy, they give me free food, I could see the cable, but now I'm in the world, now I get a friend for myself. Excuse me, that is the responsibility you have to give. That is the price you pay for freedom. We remember the fish. Can you imagine? Listen, if you read the book of Exodus, could you ever even imagine your enemy to be in a kind of situation called Egypt, where they will not give them straw? They will tell them to go and make, you know, to go and make bricks. When the tyrants were flogging them, guess what? Just simple discomfort. Look at what they are saying. They are just saying rubbish. Rubbish. And guess what? They all perished in the wilderness. Their generation perished. They were murmuring. Look at it. It says, which they were remembering the fish. Think about it. Which we did eat in Egypt freely. Somebody say freely. A wolf with a bomb belly. A wolf. They were thinking of the think about it. The fish we ate freely. The cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, I want there, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. Oh, what? Oh, boy. I was literally crying when I was preparing for this tape. In second service, make sure you get a second service tape. I'll be sharing with them five questions you must answer once you in your way to freedom. The next week, I'll begin the teaching properly. This Sunday is just preamble message. But two things I want to get across to you today is this. Number one, I want to just show you how to be responsible. Two things only. How to be responsible. Listen to me. You have to be responsible. You got to grow up. How many of you remember? Can you relate with this example I want to give? Think about this. Imagine a child. A child has a blood. The child cries to get, by the grace of God, how many of you are firstborns here? Firstborn, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All firstborn, they already have a degree in motherhood and fatherhood. Amen. Because in Africa, sorry if you're following online, in Africa, firstborn, usually they are like foster parents. They help their parents take care of the babies. Amen. So now, in my own case, it was even something terrible, quote unquote. My mom, we didn't expect any baby anymore. We already four children, okay? And then the fourth child was already forming, last born. It was already six, about to turn seven. And then my mom, too, she was in her late 30s, almost to turn 40. Now, at 40th birthday, we were surprised. Mommy was pregnant again. After 7 years of having babies. Now, to cut long story short, it turned out to be twins. So it was a lot of load on my mom. So we helped her, did everything. So I literally, right now, when I get married and have kids, I'm not going to have issues. We say, so that you got to change a napkin. I'm going to change it. I've been changing it when I was a teenager. I changed it for my kids, for my mama's kids. They were my kids. They called me daddy. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it's not a big deal. So we've been changing napkin and all of that. Now, one of the things I observed is that when they were little, of course, there are two, but you know you always have favorites now. The favorite one for me was the Kendi, that's the girl. All right, she looks like him and she's pretty. All right, she's not a kid anymore, now she's 19, praise God. All right, so I would change the napkin and all of that, but as they were growing, I noticed that sometimes when they are crying, she cries a lot. Sometimes I get angry, I'll just say, what you did cry for again? She cries, but I couldn't discern what exactly she needs. But her only way of communicating was crying. But my mom knows. Sometimes she'll say, no, she's not hungry this time around. Remove her clothes. I think she's feeling it. Turn on the... And then immediately we'll do what mommy says to do. She stops crying. Wow, women are wonderful. Our mommies are wonderful. Sometimes, guess what I'm saying? How do you understand one crying, yet she understands what she needs at the time? Now, as she grew up, because she wants food, she cries, we give her food. She wants air, she cries, we make things easy for her. But as she grew, when she cries, my mom will say, don't do no cry here, baby. You gotta tell me what you want. Your mates are already talking. And then she will cry the more. Listen. In her mind, she's in what we call crisis. That's what many of you are going through right now, but you've not been taught. That's why I'm teaching you this message. Now, listen, your future, your next level demands another version of you. Until you upgrade, could it be that the reason why you are still where you are is because you have refused to upgrade? And this upgrade we're talking about is a mental thing. We're talking about transformation. So now this baby, She still thinking the way she's going to get things done is by crying. But she has grown. There's a level of communication code we expect from her, apart from crying. Because our mates at this time are no longer crying to get food. They're no longer crying to go to the loo. They're no longer crying to say, I want water. Why? Because there is a demand on the new level she is right now, but she haven't understood it. So in her mind, she's seeing it as a crisis. Because she keeps crying. Now sometimes she will think that the more she cries, that's when we will respond. She will now increase the pitch. Mom will say, oh, ba sukundo lako sin kanka. If you like, cry to tomorrow. You must talk. Even your Taiwo is already talking. Talk. What do you want? And then she would look at us and say, so in her mind, she's feeling like these wicked people. And then in her mind, she's thinking that, but this is how I get things done. I cry, they give me. But why am I crying and they're not giving me? You have grown up. There's a responsibility. There's an expectation we want from you at that level. So how are you going to be responsible? Because time is fast spent already, so I got to be fast. How are you going to be responsible? In 2 Samuel, I'm going to share 5 questions you have to answer. I'm talking to people who are going to take their own life in their hands, and they're going to make something beautiful out of it. See, you came into this world with a clean slate. You write on it. It's a clean slate. I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you came from. Listen, you can change your future. I know you could have had a bad past. Pay attention. Don't let your past rob you of your future. You are in the present now. Take decisions. Take your life seriously. Take your life seriously. It is good, Lamentations 3:27, for a young person to bear his yoke while he is young. I've told you this before, that if God appears before me right now and said, Elijah, ask for one thing right now, I would say, Lord, take me back to being a preteen. Some of you are learning, many of you are teenagers. Some of the things you're learning, I wish I heard all this while I was a teenager. So take your life. Listen, you can draw the graph of your life. It makes no difference what your background is. And that's why I'm teaching you this. Number one is this. Recalibrate your moral compass from duty to delight. I come again. Recalibrate your moral compass from duty to delight. When you were at home, your moral compass was more of a dutiful thing to do. So they tell you when it speaks 6 p.m., you don't stay out in late time, okay? Yes, mommy, you're there. In the morning, everybody must gather. I don't remember morning prayer. Tutu. Morning. Tutu. And the day you are angry with daddy or mommy, when they tell you to lead a song, you will now sing, what my father cannot do, he has done for... You are angry with daddy, so change the song now. Oh, hallelujah. Is it? I don't remember what I'm talking about. Morning's prayer, okay? So sometimes when you are sleeping, you are entering the third heaven. Forgive my English. All right, that's when they will now come and sprinkle water. It's time to pray. Then you gather again in the morning. You just pray. You are angry. Listen, they are teaching you essential things for life, but you were doing it dutifully. Now, as you have grown up, recalibrate your moral compass from duty to delight. Begin to delight in those things, because those things are the instructions for life. Proverbs 4 verse 13, he says, take hold of instruction, for she is your life. Take hold of instruction. Let her not go, for she is your life. You want to make your life beautiful? You got to take hold of instruction. And the first thing you're going to do to be responsible is to recalibrate those things you do dutifully to delight. That's the proof of spiritual maturity. They used to force you to church then. They would say, you must go to children's church. Now you are in school. Nobody is going to cajole you. Nobody is going to control you. Then you don't need nobody to begin to tell you you have to be in church. You have to clean church, join a unit. Listen, it's a training. Number two thing you have to do. Decide to be extremely useful to God and humanity. Make your path. Listen, I have that personal decision that I am going to be useful. Somebody say, I am youthful and useful. Oh, you didn't say like him. Say,
I am youthful
and useful. Some people are not useful. You're not communicating any value. You're not sowing any seed. See, let me tell you, I've been sowing seed for years, and I won't be surprised tomorrow or next tomorrow or even a couple of... I won't be surprised in the next 20 years if somebody calls me and says, Pastor, I want to buy you a jet. Because I've been communicating... Listen, be useful. Make that decision that you are going to be useful. Be useful to God. Be useful to mankind. I want to read the scriptures to you. I'll just do a scanty commentary, then we close. Open to the book of Judges 11. Judges 11. Are you there? In verse 1. I'm going to read to you from verse 1 to 11. And I want you to pay attention with me as I read, okay? Now, listen. Now, Judges 11 and verse 1. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. Understand that. Underline that. He was a son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Next. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Do you understand? Good. So the real kids of the family in Jewish culture, a bastard does not have inheritance in the house. So they chased him out. That's like the background, putting his back on the ground. Right? Let's go. Verse 3. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men. Somebody say vain men. That means men that had nothing. Vain men. I remember when I became to Kefi, like, where is that on the map? Because I got to know Kefi for the very first time too. And again, they found out, who are your congregants? You know, I'm sorry to say this. You know, there are pastors who are fleshly, who are carnal. All right? Who just believe that it's all about money. They say, you are pastoring today, and those ones can't feed you now. You want to make it. Just go to town, find working class, do a coffee class with working class people, send proposals, tell them you want to start as they're giving me strategy. I say, nonsense. Nonsense. If God sent me here, and he asked me to focus on these kids, they're going to be more than anything anyone can imagine. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I may not be able to flaunt on Facebook that, some pastors, they just, this year, pastor's appreciation, they bought me Jeep. Woo! So, I'm happy for you. What's that? You know what I'm saying? These ones will buy me jets. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? By the way, that's not my motive. So these were vain men. You remember David in the cave of Adullam? The Bible says the men that came to him, they had 3 PhDs. They have 3 Ds. They were depressed, they were in debt, and they were discouraged. Those were the guys that came to him in 1 Samuel 30. These were, the Bible says, he trained them. Guess what? When it was about the time to build the temple, Solomon's temple, they gave more than everybody. They have learned value so much that they could communicate to the economy of their day that earned them so much wealth that they could help the building of the church of God, the house of God. In fact, later on, the Bible called them mighty men of David. See, the Bible spoke about some of them. The Bible says these are people that they can target your heir. The Bible was specific. It says one of them can target your heir with spear. They're talking about surgical precision in discharge of duty. These are skilled men. David trained them. Let's go. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Verse 4. And it came to pass in the process of time. Someone say process of time. You're already getting the point now already, right? in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the Ammonites. They were fighting the Israelites. Verse 5. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. You remember the Jephthah that went out of Tob, okay? Verse 6. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Verse 7. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not you hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when ye are in distress? Let's go. Verse 8. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Verse 9. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of the Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them, and Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, few things I want to iterate here. You remember that Jephthah was actually thrust out of his father's house. Why? Because of his background. But it was not his fault that he was born by a harlot. Some of you, right now, life is not treating you well because of your background. And it's not your fault. I just told you, decide to be useful. The same Jephthah that was thrown away from his father's inheritance was later made the captain and ruler over the inheritance of a kingdom. Why? Because he has chosen to be useful. See, when you are useful, your natural frailty notwithstanding, you'll be called upon because nobody likes to keep people who are useless around them. I'm saying this with all modesty. There are phone calls that I would think twice to pick them. But there are some people's phone call. Even if I'm... there was a day one of our ministers was calling me. All right? Should I say this? So that the person's... Anyway, I won't call the person's name. Was calling me and there it was something urgent. I was pooing. You know? No. I picked the call. Hello? Hello? Bishop Oedipo was having an interview with the New York Times. I don't know if you know New York Times. New York Times came to meet with him. They were asking that, we need your time. Thank you. Odogu? All right. So it was the New York Times was saying, we want to ask you some questions. What? I'm busy. I'm extremely busy. What do you want? I'm giving you 10 minutes. The New York Times said, okay, yeah, 10 minutes. They were already preparing their camera, everything, 10 minutes. They want to talk to him. Then one of the chief protocol came to him and said, you have a call. Woo. Baba Adebo, hey. He took the phone. He said, I'm coming. He went to spend 2 hours on phone with another man. Somebody say value. Value. When you communicate value, and you can't communicate value except you choose to be useful. See, all this, nobody can use me. See, if nobody is using you, it's because you're not useful. It's not wrong to be used. It is only wrong to be used and dumped. It's not wrong to be used. And if you're not being used, you are undoing yourself. Because if David has not been used, nobody will have mentioned his name in the palace. At the time when King Saul was going through mental turmoil, he was being tormented by demon. Someone said, there's a young guy that can play instruments very well. That's because he's been useful. Be useful. Say, I'm useful. And I'm useful. Can you see that? So we see that in his life. He was useful. And again, in the process of time, you have to understand times and seasons in your life. There's a time for training. There's another point I want to show you in this beautiful passage I just read to you. Now, Jephthah was a son of Alot, but when he became useful, no one cared about his background. I don't like quoting people whose value are not in line with mine as a pastor, but I just want to quote this woman. Her name is Oprah Winfrey. She says, success is the greatest deterrent to sexism, racism, and gender biasedness. In other words, nobody cares about your gender, about where you came from, when you are successful. The reason why your background is still a big deal to you is because you've not been useful. Imagine you now finding solution to the present coronavirus. Or imagine you having solution as a pharmacist to HIV/AIDS. Who will care whether you are from Egon? Or you are from Oturupo? Who cares? Value. Choose to be useful. Choose to be useful. And you see, that is greatness. I've taught you this before, that greatness in the kingdom is service. In the book of Mark 10:42, Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give life as a ransom for many. Service. Choose to serve. Be useful. Be extremely useful. Somebody say, I am useful. Somebody say, I am useful. And guess what? The more you are being used, the more useful you become. And nobody should use me. I don't want anybody to use me. Nobody should come and use me anyhow. Nobody should use me. Be used. It's good to be used. It's only wrong to be dumped after being used. It's good to be used. And if you're not being used, it's because you're not useful. And the more you are being used, the more useful you become. I was listening to somebody, he made mention of how that athletes, when they are going for the Olympic or Olympic Games, they don't wear a new shoe. They normally wear the shoe they have been using to train. He says because their leg has mastered that shoe. Huh? Do you think if I find my way to the Aso Rock now and they say we need a cameraman that can just do a small event for us, there's a name of somebody in church that will first come to my mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's just that way. By reason of being useful. There was a company, a conglomerate in Abuja. They wanted to do a short, just 2 days event, and they needed a DJ that would be playing for them. Huge money. I'm talking of a conglomerate, not a Nigerian company. Name of one of our old members came to mind immediately. And she's even a lady, a DJ. She was like, Pastor, so you used to, DJ, that's ungodly work. Bele. Number 3 points I want to give to you because I have 5 more minutes. You become sought after when you become useful. Make yourself a useful youth. Let your impact be felt. Let's be able to say you spent 4 years in this place, and then we can refer to, wow, this guy, when I was a copper in Sokoto 2014, all right, I was useful. The relationship I made there, I mean, this is a ministry that they have, a youth ministry that is very big. In the history of Sokoto, and Sokoto was the head of Zamfara in that ministry. They were the head pastor, Sokoto is the head of Zamfara, Yauri and Kebi. I was the evangelism coordinator for Youth Alive. Never in history, a copper. And I will have meetings. Apart from that, the pastor used me. Because news went to the senior pastor that, there's one guy in the family house. They made me, I was not the papo, I was the house manager. Coppers will know what I'm talking about. House manager is like the first son of papo. Me and papo were living in master's bedroom. Well, ladies were living in 3 rooms. Men were living in another 3 rooms. Then there's a master bedroom. Me and papo were staying there. I heal people with two asthma in the family house. I mean, I preach every Sunday. Papa will say, let us call her up. They call me prophet. I'll give everybody word. You, your family, is our forensic prophecies. The senior pastor got to know. When I was leaving, they gave me money for flight. They said, "Take, don't go. We don't want." I said, "I have to go." I was so useful that I even, guess what? I was even a home cell leader. In the history of home cell leaders, when I was leaving, they organized party for me. And all those, they are still connection with me to date. Be extremely useful. Be so useful that your absence will be felt. Be so useful. And the most brilliant place to be useful is the house of God. That's number 4 points. Be useful to God and his church. That's the first place your usefulness should be felt. Listen, in the economy of God, God's yardstick of measuring usefulness is how useful you are to kingdom advancement. Because that is the only thing that reaches into the afterlife. That's the only thing that reaches into the afterlife. The things you do for the kingdom. That's God's yardstick of measuring how useful you are. Listen, if you are not useful to God, you are not useful to man. And it's going to come home to you very quickly now. Open to Mark 11. Let me show you. Mark 11. Yes, you become sought after when you are useful. Did you notice that when Jephthah became useful, he began to negotiate his value? If I come, will you guys make me head? Now, Mark 11 and verse 13. The Bible says, "And seeing a fig tree afar off," pay attention, "having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found what?" He found what? There are some people, they are just loquacious and noisy. No value communicated. You just want to be close to the pastor. They are just loquacious. They are not useful. They carry the appearance of usefulness from afar. You can actually see them praying. Get to them. Give them simple work. I don't want to say useless, because there's no useless person in the kingdom. At least he has the Holy Ghost. So this guy, that's hypocrisy. So much leaf, but no fruit. Have you seen a fine tree? Oh, and then you get there, no single fruit. You see? He came if haply he might find any thereon. And when he came to eat, he found nothing but what?
Leaves.
Vegetative growth. For the time of fix was not. Then verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." If you are not useful to Jesus, you are never going to be useful to mankind. Because the only usefulness you can be to mankind in the sight of God is the usefulness that transcends time. Is the usefulness that reaches into eternity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, God's yardstick of measuring your usefulness is to what degree have you supported his kingdom advancement. God has one goal for mankind: to have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Evangelism and their discipleship. If you are not practically or indirectly involved in any of these two things, you are useless. Nami Tokam. You know Force the musician? Yes. I mean, Tokam. You're not useful. Be useful to God and his church. If your usefulness cannot be measured with the tape of eternity, you are of all men most miserable. Because what is usefulness that does not transcend into time? I mean, that does not transcend time. That does not go after time. Listen, even if you live 200 years, Talk to me. Even if you live 200 years, can you compare that to eternity? Timelessness. So just let's do a recap. Two things you must choose for you to be responsible. I've not even started teaching on responsibility already. This is just preamble. That's what I want to do today, first and second service. Then next week, I will begin the real teaching on responsibility of freedom. You have a freedom now. And I've used simple examples that will help you, that you can relate to it. There's someone here. Listen, a guy is trying to push you into sexual sin. Listen, let me tell you. If you lose your value because you don't want to lose somebody, guess what? You will lose your value and you will end up losing that person. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because, listen, nothing satisfies. That's why I say, go and get that tape, satisfaction. Nothing can satisfy. Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have gone to hewn for themselves cisterns that cannot hold waters. That means any other place you look out for satisfaction, you will always be disappointed because God alone can satisfy. And even in natural sense, think about it. You know, can I be free with you? Come on, can I be free with you? So a young man came to me for counseling. I was counseling with him in Abuja. You know, God loves everybody, right? Everybody comes for counsel, you give them counsel. Abby, I won't say he's not a child of God or because he does not love God. Well, he claims to be a Christian. I'll give him a good counsel. He has different girls. He changed them like boxers. Yeah, boxers. But those of us that use one boxers per day. And if you're not doing it per day, change. All right? So he changes them like socks. He has plenty. And you know what they do with ladies now? I now ask him, so which one? Pick one. You can see, let me tell you, his vanity of... I've done a teaching on Solomon, right? Get a teaching on Solomon. You go tire. Wait, see. Kill and share. Calm down. I say, pick one. Saying, I want you to advise me which one I go pick. Okay. I said, okay. Guess what? At the end of the discourse, the one that always said, no, I can't do that. If I'm not ready for a relationship, get out, is the one, see, because everybody likes value. If you like, go and be doing, giving him all the style, everything. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. If you like, have baby for himself. Did that not happen with Leah? Leah said, now my husband will love me for I have another baby for him. The guy was still crushing after Rachel. That's just by the way. That's for somebody. It's not in my notes, but that's for somebody. So let me just do a simple recap. Two things you must decide to be responsible. Deliberately recalibrate your moral compass from duty to delight. Begin to delight in those good things you used to do dutifully. Begin to delight in them. Because that's your life. The law of God is not grievous. And the way of God is not hard. It is the transgressor's way that is hard. Number two, decide to be extremely useful to God and humanity. Decide, at this your youth age, make those two decisions. In second service, make sure, first service people, make sure you get the tape for second service. I'll be teaching 5 questions you must answer for mental freedom. If you want your life to be useful, if you want to leave a mark on the sand of history, you must answer those 5 questions. And guess what? If the oppressor helps you answer those 5 questions, you will remain oppressed forever. Those 5 questions. You have to answer it. I will share it in second service. First service, make sure you get the tape. And I will tell second service people to get the first service tape. These 2 decisions. As we are living here today, put your hand on your chest, everybody. Say after me, say, I decide today to be extremely useful to my Creator and humanity. Say, from today, I begin to delight in the commandment and the dictates of the Spirit for my life. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Say, I am filled with all wisdom. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lift your hands, lift that hands towards heaven, lift it to the Lord. You have made that decision, you've made that vow, lift it to the Lord. Just pray in tongues, somebody. Just be seated. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit for 2 minutes. Kalabashatabaha. You're going to be useful. You're going to be useful. You're going to be useful. There is no uselessness here. You're going to be useful. I prophesy everyone here, you're going to be useful. You'll be useful for the Lord. You'll be useful for the kingdom. You'll be useful for the kingdom. You'll be useful for the Lord. You will live for the Lord. It will be said of you that you once came to this world. You will not pass this world like a snake on the rock that has no parts. You will leave a footprint. You will change destinies. You will touch life in your time. The Bible says David, after he has fulfilled the will of God, went and slept with his fathers. After he has fulfilled the purpose of God, you will live a purposeful life. Your life will be useful. Your life will be meaningful to mankind. And so be it right now. If you're not born again, you've not received Christ into your heart, all eyes closed. You've not received Christ into your heart. You're not sure if you will spend eternity with the Lord, all eyes closed. Please, can you come forward? Let me lead you to Christ right now. Anybody like that? You're not born again. You're not sure if you will make. You're not sure if Jesus comes now, you will depart with him. You're not sure. Anybody like that? Let me see your hands up. Don't be shy. Today is your day. Anybody like that? You're not sure. You're not sure. Raise it up very well. High. If you're not born again, anybody like that? Raise it high. Raise it high. Okay, nobody. Can we help you up standing?
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 80 74 07 85 66. We celebrate you.